Well, praise the Lord. Praise our God. Praise God. I am thankful that He takes our lives and gives us great hope in this world. You know, it's so true. We didn't have anything to give Him, did we? Oh, just our old past and all those funny, icky things we once did. And praise the Lord, He gave us so much more. Plus, oh, yes, what we have to look forward to. Oh, yes. Praise our God. Wonderful thing to know the Lord. It's a wonderful thing to be here tonight. Oh, yes, be able to worship Him. We're going to go before the Lord in prayer right now and just ask Him to have His way. Praise the Lord. Oh, Heavenly Father, we just thank You again, Lord, that we can come before Thee. We thank You, Lord, that You take our lives, God, such as they were. And, oh, Lord, that You make new creatures out of us, Lord. And, oh, God, oh, Lord, we have nothing to give Thee, Lord. But, oh, Lord, You have given us so much hope. And, oh, Lord, You give us the answers that we need as we seek Thee in this life. God, oh, You make a way for us, Lord. Oh, God, we have Thy promises, Lord. And, oh, God, we know that they are yea and amen. I pray that You'd be here tonight, God. You know the needs of each and every individual, Lord. I pray that You would reach out tonight. I pray that You would save, that You would touch, that You would heal, Lord. Oh, God, that You would anoint, oh, Lord. Oh, God, that, oh, Lord, You'd use these words for Your kingdom's sake, oh, Lord. Oh, God, we're poor and needy. We could do nothing without You, Lord. And we ask, oh, Lord, that You'd help us, Lord, as we walk this earth. Oh, God, this little time that we have here, Lord, I pray that You'd help us, that You'd use us. Oh, God, and oh, God, that You give us words, oh, Lord. Oh, God, that will help other people. Oh, God, we need You here, Lord. And I pray that Your word would have free course. Oh, God, that Satan would be bound. And all, God, his attempts, oh, Lord, his hindrances, Lord, that the devil be rebuked. I pray, oh, God, that You'd help us to have our minds stayed upon Thee, Lord. Oh, God, I pray that You'd use this word in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, for Thy kingdom's sake and for Thy name's sake. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. We are a very blessed people. And, oh my, you know, I think when you walk with the Lord, you realize, what can we do without Him? And that's true. There is, you know, our ability, our strength, our hope, it's all in God. And He makes a way. He helps us. You know, things go kind of crazy at times, but you know, the Lord knows how to take all the little twists and turns and make them straight. And that's what He does with our lives when we come to Him. You know, we were all, you know, out there walking this crooked, wavy road. And, you know, thank the Lord. The Lord came to you know, smooth our path so that we could walk in the ways of the Lord. And you know what is right and know what is wrong, to walk in God's ways and to do the things that please the Lord. Truly, it's amazing how God gets a hold of us and how He begins to change us. Praise the Lord. He takes our lives and begins to make something beautiful, how He restores, how He, you know, builds up and, you know, makes new the things that were crumbling and torn and asunder and, you know, in great need of hope. That's what our God has done for us. He's taken us and indeed made us new creatures. Praise the Lord. Praise our God. We're going to call this message the High Calling of God in Christ Jesus. I'm going to go to 1 Peter chapter 2. Read a couple of verses here that are very familiar to us. But praise the Lord. How dear. Praise the Lord. It says here, in 1 Peter chapter 2, actually, I think I'm going to start with verse 5 here. It just all looks so good. Verse 5, it says, "Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." Yes, we were talking about how the Lord remakes us, and praise the Lord, He takes that old carnal thinking and, you know, all the other things that were a part of our human nature and puts His Spirit within us. Yes, that's what the Holy Ghost is all about, so that, you know, we wouldn't have to be dead and listless, you know, that we could have real life, the life of Jesus Christ, and become lively stones in Christ Jesus. That means we are made alive by the blood of Jesus Christ, and we're no longer dead in our sins and in our trespasses. Praise the Lord. And so He has taken us as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Verse 6 says, "Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. And he that believeth on Him shall not be confounded." And praise the Lord, Jesus Christ is that chief cornerstone. Praise the Lord, yes, He was elected. Oh, how precious He is. And praise the Lord to all that believe on Him. Oh, they are not going to be confounded. They are not going to be ashamed. They are not going to be confused. Praise the Lord. It says in verse 7, "Unto you therefore which believe, He is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner." Oh, I tell you, in spite of the fact that Jesus Christ was rejected and despised and crucified by those that He came to minister unto, disallowed, in other words, in spite of that, He still has been made the head of the corner, the chief cornerstone. Praise the Lord. There is nothing that could stop the will of God. And praise the Lord, we can say, if God be for us, who can be against us? And likewise, in spite of opposition, in spite of discouragement and trials and tests and sickness and pain and all those kind of things that sometimes come upon us, yet we know that the Lord is with us. And He is there to help us. He is there to meet our needs. And yes, He is there to take us home when it is time. He's there, yes. He's prepared that place for us in the heavens, that wonderful inheritance that we have. But you know, to those that don't acknowledge Him, that don't believe, that don't come to Him, oh, there's nothing but trouble ahead in such a way. Oh, to them He has become a stone, a stumbling, and a rock of offense. So something that gets in the way, something that hinders them, something that they don't want to hear, you know. Oh, don't tell me that. I'll plug my ears. I don't want to hear that I'm a sinner. I don't want to hear that I need Jesus. But how precious it is. Oh, yes, when, oh, yes, it rings true. Oh, I need the Lord. I realize I'm a sinner. I realize I can do nothing without Him. Oh, how precious it is. Instead of stumbling over the chief cornerstone, oh, yes, instead of disallowing Him and you know, His Word becoming a rock of offense. Oh, how beautiful it is when instead that heart turns to the living God. And praise the Lord, there's nothing too hard for our God. You know, there's no sin too great that God can't forgive. You know, if you just come to Him, if you just give Him your heart, you just let Him turn your life around. Oh, praise the Lord. And so, a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But praise the Lord for the people of God. It tells us in verse 9, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, the Lord took us. Oh, we were all way out there. We were all miserable. Oh, sinners, and knowing not God, and without hope in this world. But the Lord called us into His glorious light, gave us the ability to see. So it, you know, those blinders that were over our eyes, that covered our eyes so we couldn't see properly, the Lord removed them so we can see, so we can understand, so we can hear, so we can obey. And praise the Lord, yes, that wonderful calling that comes forth from the Lord when, yes, we responded to that knock at our heart's door. Oh, yes, let me in. I want to come in. I want to spend my time with you. I want to turn your life around. Praise the Lord, what a glorious day that was when we turned it over to God. And praise the Lord, His people are that chosen generation. Oh, it's not one particular race or group of people. Oh, it's not one gender. Oh, no, there's no difference in those regards at all. But the people of God are that chosen generation, those that are called forth and chosen, oh, yes, to serve the Lord. And we become that royal priesthood, oh, kings and priests unto God, so that we can make intercession, so we can intervene, so, yes, we can have that role in our life down here on this earth. And we become that holy nation. Again, we who were, you know, out of the way. We weren't, you know, in that first covenant, perhaps. We were not Jewish. But praise the Lord, He has taken of all His people that have come unto Him and made them an holy nation, His nation. And praise the Lord, a peculiar people. Oh yes, a called out, peculiar treasure of the Lord, as Samuel was speaking on Sunday. Praise the Lord, that's the people of the Lord. That's how God sees His people, as that chosen generation, that royal priesthood, that holy nation, and that peculiar people. Oh yes, we're called out. We've been chosen so that we could show forth the praises of Him who has called us out of darkness and into His marvelous light. Oh, praise the Lord. We've got something to praise the Lord for. Those praises, yes, that began truly when He changed our lives and we were converted by the saving grace of our Lord. He filled us with the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. But you know, He gave us something. Oh, yes, something. Oh, yes, it's deep within. Those wells of living water. Oh, yes, and that hope that doesn't diminish. Oh, yes, that hope that is fulfilled in the Lord. And He's given us that ability to see the light so we don't have to walk in the darkness any longer. Instead, we walk in His marvelous light. Praise the Lord, in spite of the fact that in times past we were not a people. But yes, now we are the people of God. There was a time where we had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He called us a high, wonderful calling that came from the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm going to go to the book of Philippians right now. The third chapter of the book of Philippians. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Seems like the book of Philippians is just a beautiful passage in so many ways. And truly this church at Philippi was a people that, you know, truly had given their lives to the Lord. And you know, I believe this is a very beautiful epistle that Paul is writing to them. He says in the first verse here of chapter 3, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. In other words, it's beneficial. This is for your good. This is for your well-being, he's saying. And then he has some advice here. He tells them in verse 2, beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. And, you know, often in the scripture when it says dogs, it's not talking about, you know, the creature that, you know, we call dogs, but he's talking about people that are untoward. And often it would refer to Gentiles. But in this respect here, I believe in this chapter, he's talking to them that have not received the word of God and walk without. And, you know, cause disturbances, cause division, cause trouble. And so he's telling them to beware of such. Those that try to get in the way and maybe, you know, sneak in and cause confusion and division and trouble. You know, the devil works. And often he uses people. And then he said to beware of evil workers. That would include this sort of people that try to sneak in and do the filthy works of Satan. And then he says, beware of the concision. And that's interesting too, because the concision would be those that would want to divide. And in particular, there were zealots in this time that this epistle was written, who would were just consumed with the need to be circumcised. And there were some of those, yes, that would try to get into the church of the living God and stir things up and try to make these Gentile people think that they had to be circumcised in the flesh. But Paul explains well in verse 3 here. He says, for we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. See, there's a turning around. The first covenant was according to the flesh. But the second covenant is according to the Spirit. And so circumcision under the new covenant is something of the heart. And, you know, it had to be explained. You know, in the 15th chapter of the book of Acts, actually, there was a bit of debate in the early church. And you know, God used, you know, used Paul and, you know, others there to bring the truth here, to straighten it out so that they began to realize that they were not to require the Gentile people who came to the Lord to be circumcised and to keep other aspects of the law. You know, I guess these things had to be sorted out back then. And here, you know, Paul is writing and telling it clearly that we are the circumcision. He's talking to a Gentile people, the church of Philippi, that had come to the Lord. And he's making it clear the family of God is the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. And praise the Lord, Jesus had said that, you know, the time was coming when they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And praise the Lord, that's the new covenant. Yes, thank God we're under the new covenant. This church at Philippi was under the new covenant. And so, yes, to those that worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus. Oh, yes, have that understanding that Jesus Christ was God manifested in the flesh, who came to this world as the Messiah. Oh, yes, to bring forth salvation so that we could be saved. Praise the Lord. And yeah, it wasn't a covenant of flesh with ordinances and other things that had to be done according to the flesh. And then he goes on to explain in verse 4, though I might also have confidence in the flesh,
If any man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. And now Paul's going to give his credentials because, you know, people would kind of get snooty concerning him. And you know, he had a lot of criticism. I guess if we have criticism in this day and age, I guess it's nothing new, is it? Oh, Jesus was highly criticized. He was highly misunderstood. Oh, yes. Oh, they called him all kinds of things, didn't they? And Paul likewise knew what it was like. And here he wants to clarify a few things, you know. If he, you know, he's saying, if anybody can boast about their flesh, I guess I could do that. And then he tells, you know, some of his credentials here. He says in verse 5, circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, Pharisee. And as far as we know, he was a high-ranking Pharisee. We think he was probably a member of the Sanhedrin court, and all very high up in their ranks. Verse 6 says, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. You know, if you want to talk about the law and keeping that, or the supposed righteousness, you know, if you had to, you know, the law was, you know, your own righteousness trying to, you know, bring you to God. But, oh wow, thank God we have a new and living way, praise the Lord, where it's not our righteousness at all, where it's not anything that we can even do to bring salvation. But oh, thank God, oh, it's not of works which we have done, but oh, we're saved by the faith of Jesus Christ. Oh, praise the Lord, and oh, praise the Lord, He bathes us, so to speak, with His righteousness. He clothes us with His righteousness. He puts on His garment of righteousness upon us, so that one day, when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, we have His righteousness upon our being. Yes, oh, we're clothed, oh, with His works, with His faith, and for what He has done for us. Oh, praise the Lord, of things that we could not do ourselves. And, you know, the first law, no, they couldn't attain to it, could they? Oh, you know, it only could do so much. And they had to rely on, you know, all the sacrifices of bulls and goats and sheep, you know, to atone for their sin. But praise the Lord, God put on flesh to come to this world as the Lamb of God. Oh, yes, with a sole purpose. Oh, yes, to bring forth a people. Oh, yes, to come to Him and be forgiven their sins. Praise the Lord. He became the Lamb. He became the atonement. So we don't have to offer sacrifices. Oh, God forbid that we would try. Though there are people that are thinking about bringing it back. Oh, yes. Oh, that article that I read just recently. Oh, yeah, where they're thinking about bringing the Judaic law back and enforcing it. Oh, I tell you what, we don't have to go there. That's of the past. Oh, the Lord Jesus Christ came to atone for our sins. He became the Lamb of God, and He only did it once. It only needed to be done once. Once was sufficient to forever take away our sins when we come to the Lord in faith. Oh, yes, and give Him our sins. Ask Him to forgive us. Praise the Lord. Thank the Lord Jesus. Amen. So, oh, yes, Paul had these credentials, you know, this past, this zeal, and in this supposed righteousness according to the law. But he says in verse 7, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. At this point, they meant nothing. Those credentials had no significance whatsoever. In fact, what does he say? Yea, doubtless, And I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. He gave up that past, all of those credentials, all of that esteem that he once had. He gave it up. He says, the loss of all things, and to count them but dung. Oh, I mean, that's nothing. It's just as low as can be. It's as dung. That I may win Christ. Oh, praise the Lord. When the Lord appeared to him on the road to Damascus, he saw something that he had never seen before. Oh, the revelation that the one that he was persecuting was the Lord Jesus himself. Praise the Lord. And oh, yes, what a wonder. But all at once he could see through his blindness, his stumbling, his zeal, his pharisaical background. He could see past it. And oh boy, what a revelation when he realized what he was doing. He was persecuting God. Oh yes, his people. And oh, what a problem. But praise the Lord. The Lord called him. The Lord had mercy on him. The Lord saved him. Praise the Lord. And oh, now he could see how all that background, all that zeal, all that training was nothing but dung. And oh, yes, he let it go. He let it go. A lot of times there's things people have to let go of. You know, things in the past that people hang on to. You know, things that maybe you're kind of proud of, all those certificates and all those titles and all that background and, you know, that education or whatever all. But sometimes those things have to go. Praise the Lord. That's not what life is really about. Oh, praise the Lord. When you find the Lord, you find a better way of living. You find out what life is all about. You know, this life is a time of preparation, a time of preparing to meet the Lord, because we're here for just a little while. This life down here is short. There is coming that day when we're going to stand before God and give an account of the deeds that we have done in the flesh. Oh, that day, we all have an appointment with that. And how we want to be all clothed with His righteousness. How we want to be right in the sight of God. How we want to be forgiven our iniquities. Praise the Lord, all that blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse us, to purify us, and to make us whole. And this life is that little time that we have to get ready to meet the Lord. Because after that, there's eternity. And eternity is not, you know, a short duration. Eternity is forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. You know, it's a concept we can't even grasp right now. But that's what life is about. It's this little time that we have to do things that count, to do things for the Lord, to make a difference in somebody's life. Oh, yes, to make our calling and election sure. Oh, yes, to walk with the Lord. Praise the Lord. And that's what Paul realized. Saul of Tarsus, as he was at that point, you know, he realized, hey, all this mess up in here, it's nothing. You know, there's a great turnaround in his life. And he realized there was a cause far greater than anything he'd ever reached before, anything he had ever reached for before. Oh, something greater to live for. Oh, the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, praise the Lord. You know something, oh, that you could do with your heart. Something that satisfies the soul, because you're not doing it because of your selfish nature and, you know, the old things of the old flesh. But we realize, oh, there's something beyond, there's something greater, there's something to live for, there's something to die for. Oh, we've got a cause that's beyond, you know, the causes of this world. So Paul began to realize it, and he counted all those things of the past as nothing, as dung. On and on he became consumed with one thought. And that thought is that I might win Christ, that I might do his will. Oh yes, that I might be accepted by the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's what began to consume him, began to become a part of his thinking. Oh yes, and he says in verse 9, and be found in him. Oh, that day when we stand before him. I want to be found in Jesus Christ. I want to be anchored in Jesus Christ. I want to have something to give him when I stand before him. And yes, be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law. See, honestly, why would anybody want to go back there? Oh, and, you know, that was physical. That, you know, righteousness, your own righteousness, that's of the law. But that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Praise the Lord, what a difference that makes. That I may know him. Oh, praise the Lord. I want to know the Lord. Oh, yes, he's made a way. Yes, he's brought forth the Holy Ghost so that we can know him as Lord and Savior. So we can walk with him. So we can talk with him. Oh, yes, so we can feel his presence. Oh, yes. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. And the fellowship of his sufferings. Yes, we become a partaker of the sufferings of Christ. Oh, yes, yes. Some troubles may follow because we're following the Lord. People aren't going to understand us. Not too many, anyway. It might be relatives, you know. It might be a spouse. God only knows. It might be neighbors. Oh, God only knows. But praise the Lord gives us an enablement. Ability to withstand all those things. And yes, he puts it within us. Paul had this goal. He had a focus. A focus that was not of the world. Striving to gain things of the world. But instead, it was consumed within him that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. Oh, yes, that I might be a partaker, that I might know the Lord Jesus, being made conformable unto his death. Praise the Lord, we have quite an opportunity when we're baptized in the name of Jesus. When we go down in the water, we are identifying with the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord, we're putting on Christ at that moment. Oh, I don't know why anyone would want to hesitate, because yes, it's compared to a burial with Christ. Praise the Lord, we go down in the water in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that past, those sins, are buried with Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord, and we rise to walk in newness of life. Praise the Lord, as it tells us in Romans, the 6th chapter. Praise the Lord, oh, how God changes us. Oh, yes, we put off the old man. Oh, yes, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Oh, yes, behold, all things have become new. Praise the Lord. He transforms us. He gives us of his Spirit. So, yes, that transforming Spirit of the Holy Ghost can be upon us. To be transformed, it means to be changed, to be converted. Yes, life turns over to the living God, and you know, all those things that we once did, and you know, things that we didn't even want to do, that, you know, we just did. They're part of our nature, and you know, we couldn't hardly help ourselves. But the Lord fills us with the Holy Ghost, so we can put on the new man. Those old things pass away. You know, All things become new. Praise the Lord. Those old things are buried with Him in the waters of baptism. And praise the Lord. We rise to walk in newness of life. Praise the Lord with the promise of receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. And praise the Lord. I love it when people come up out of that water and they're speaking in other tongues. Praise the Lord. I want to see that again soon. Praise the Lord. But regardless, that promise is upon us when we've turned our life over to the Lord and obey that command to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. So this became Paul's very great goal, the motivation behind all that he did. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. See, that's all deep within him. I've got to strive to do this. This is my heart's desire. I want to obtain. That right resurrection, so I can be found faithful for the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. He says in verse 12, not as though I had already attained or achieved, in other words. Either we're already perfect, you know, I'm still striving, I'm still trying to get there, you know. It's a walk with the Lord. We come to Him as babes in the Lord. And yeah, there's a lot of growth that needs to happen, you know, to get to, you know, the ranks of maturity in the Lord. So yes, I'm working on that. But I follow after if that I might, or I may rather, apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. That's what he wanted to achieve. Oh yes, that status where he could stand before the Lord. Oh yes, and you know, be right in the sight of God, be clothed with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. He says in verse 13, and this is such an important verse. It says in verse 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. In other words, I haven't achieved. I'm still striving. I'm still working on this. But look at this. He says, but this one thing I do. And I'll tell you what. Now, this is a hindrance a lot of times. But he says, forgetting those things which are behind. Let's think about this for a moment. A lot of times, you know, the things behind are stumbling blocks. You know, sometimes people, you know, are just, you know, at the point where it's overwhelming. And they have trouble getting over the things in their past. The mistakes and, you know, the lacks of perfection and all of that. But Paul learned to put that behind, to not go there, because, you know, every day that we have with the Lord is a new opportunity. The mercies of the Lord are new every morning, Jeremiah wrote in the book of Lamentation. You know, great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is there. He gives us new opportunities. Oh, yes, a new life in Christ Jesus. And you don't want to just, go back there and let those other things that, you know, you regret, that hurt even. And you know, I think we all know some of this. And you know, and not only things we did, but sometimes hurts, you know, that affected us. But praise the Lord, hopefully Paul learned to get them out of the way and not let them just hang over the head all the time and clobber you and, you know, get you into that valley where, you know, you're down there all, you know, messed up and, you know, thinking remorsefully perhaps, or, you know, just full of, you know, pity perhaps even over conditions that are gone, are washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ. So praise the Lord. That was, you know, Paul realized this is very important. This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. I don't think Paul could have done anything at all if he would have dragged his past with him. You know, if that was always, you know, if he was always there, and I'm sure he regretted it terribly. But yet he didn't let it become a snare and a stumbling block and always in front of his face. He realized that the mercy of God was far greater than that. And you know that he had been cleansed, that he had been washed from that old past, from that old man, those old conditions. And yes, now they weren't in front of his face. Praise the Lord, he let them go. Oh yes, because the Lord had let them go. The Lord had forgiven him those trespasses. Praise the Lord. And so he learned to let those things go, forgetting those things which are behind, and instead reaching forth unto those things which are before. Oh, this is what his goal was. There's something I'm striving for. There's something I'm reaching for. This is my goal in life. Oh, yes, this is why I'm living. This is what I'm doing. This is why I'm breathing. Please, you may not understand me, but I'm reaching out. I'm reaching out, oh, yes, to do the will of the Lord and to do those things that are before. Oh, yes, the mastery, the perfection. Oh, yes, the obtaining, that we want to obtain for the sake of the Lord's ministry, for the sake of the Lord's work. Oh, yes, to come forth so that we could be a fruitful thing. Oh, when we stand before the Lord. Oh, yes, a blessing. Oh, yes, somebody who has been forgiven their past and now walks in the ways of the Lord. Oh, yes, once walked in that realm of the carnal. But let that carnal life go. And instead gave it over to the Lord. So that now we can walk in the Spirit. And not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, our God, who has had such mercy on us. And we know how it is. So many people try to live in two different worlds. Oh, they want to serve the Lord, but they're still hanging on to the things of the world. Oh, it's no wonder that John wrote in 1 John, the second chapter, love not the world, neither the things that are of the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So you can't walk in two worlds. You can't serve two masters, as Jesus Christ said. You know, you're going to hold to the one and despise the other. Or, you know, love one and hate the other. You know, you can't serve God and mammon. So John put it very clear here. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Praise the Lord. See, there's a better way. You let go of the things of this world. It's going to pass. You know, it's going to end. Oh, there, you know, it's all going to vanish. The works of this world are all going to be consumed. They are all going to be burned. Oh, it's all going to pass away. Oh, the world's going to pass away and the lust thereof. All these things that people live for and breathe for and think of all the time. It's all going to pass. It's all futile. It's all vanity. But thank the Lord, there's a better way. We can turn our lives over to the Lord Jesus Christ and let Him direct our lives. Oh, praise the Lord, to give us something to live for that's eternal. Oh, the things that will not pass away.
the things that will not vanish. Oh, praise the Lord. And so, yes, Paul was so drawn to do the will of the Lord. That was his goal. That was his desire. Oh, yes, he didn't count himself yet to have apprehended or achieved. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, all these eternal things. That's why I'm breathing. That's my work. That's my job. You know, let the other things go. Doesn't matter how many degrees you have, how much money you make, what kind of house you live in, what kind of car you drive, you know, what people think about you. What does that matter anyway? What matters is, what does God think? Oh, what is God's opinion? How is He going to judge you? Oh, praise the Lord. I thank God that we can give our lives to the Lord. And here in verse 14. Verse 14, Paul writes, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's what he was aiming for. There was a mark he was shooting to hit. Oh, yes. And that's why he's pressing forth. His actions, you know, his thoughts, his efforts were all aimed toward that mark that he was trying to achieve. The prize of a high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Oh, that's what he wanted, the prize. Oh, that's what he wanted to obtain, that high calling. You see, oh yes, he might have been a man of esteem in the past. Oh yes, he might have been well thought of. He might have had much education. And oh yes, been, yes, a major force there among the Jewish people. But oh yes, something happened to him on the road to Damascus. He realized, this is nothing. Oh, what I've been trying to achieve is completely nonsense. Oh, there's no spiritual benefit to what I was doing. In fact, it was going the other way. In reality, he began to realize there's something else to reach for. There's something else to achieve. By the grace of God, this is why I'm doing these things. That's why I'm going from place to place and trying to reach people for the cause of Jesus Christ. That's why I've suffered all these things. You know, Paul, you know, he was in prison probably more than anybody else. Practically, and you know, he was beaten. He's beaten with rods. Oh, yes. I think he said 5 times he received 40 stripes minus one. And you know, he was shipwrecked, and he was in the deep a day and a night. And you know, he suffered all these things. And you know, he knew what it was like to be forsaken. He knew what it was like to, you know, win people to the Lord and then see them turn their backs and reject him and go the other way. He knew what it was. He knew what it was like to have false brethren that would come into the churches and try to take away the sheep. Oh, he knew all those things, the trials, you know, his own countrymen that opposed him and came against him, you know, persecuted him, hated him. He knew all those things. But praise the Lord, you know, even though, he had trouble, you know, even though he was persecuted, even though he was hit again and again and again, he was in prison, you know, and he suffered this way and that way. He didn't give up. He didn't turn around. He realized, there's a prize. There's a prize. There's a prize that I'm striving to obtain here. And I'm going to press toward that mark. Oh, no matter how hard it is, no matter how many turn against me. He talked about all those in Asia had turned against him. I'll tell you what, you know, he talked about being highly forsaken when he was in prison. I'll tell you what, he knew all these things. But yet he realized, hey,
I'm reaching out. I've got a goal. My heart's set on this goal. And nothing is going to change me. Nothing is going to turn around. I'm going to reach this goal. If I die, I'm going to be with the Lord. What more can man do to me anyway? My life with Christ is all that matters. My eternity is all that matters. These other things in my past, they're done. They're nothing. But praise the Lord, God gave him something greater. Oh, yes, something that was very precious that he could realize with all his heart and grasp. Oh, yes. And so thus, he pressed toward the mark. Oh, I've got to hit it, Oh, it might be hard to reach, that I'm going to aim for that, right in the middle of that dartboard. I'm going to hit it right smack dab in the middle. That's what my goal is. I'm going to reach it. The prize of a high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. And thank the Lord has called us too. And yes, he tells us here in verse 15, let us therefore as many as be perfect be thus minded. And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal this unto you. That need to have your eyes on the goal that he's talking about. That's what he's talking about. The church of the living God, that needs to be our mindset. We're not looking, to the left. We're not looking to the right. We're looking straight on. We're walking that straight and narrow way that leadeth unto life. And, he says, if anything ye be otherwise minded, we get a little distracted, if we get a little hindered, if we get a little off course here. He says, God shall reveal even this unto you. And sometimes, we need a little correction, and sometimes, it happens one way or the other. And thank the Lord. He helps us to say, oh, God, I think I goofed up here. I think my goal got kind of distorted, and here I am. I'm wandering. Oh, Lord, would you help me? Lord, would you forgive me? Praise the Lord God so graciously does. He would have none to perish, but all to come to him in repentance. And praise the Lord, he made provision for that. Those things are written that we sin not. But if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, who is a propitiation for our sins. And not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. Oh, praise the Lord. That's why Jesus came. He came that we might find forgiveness for our sin. Oh, yes, that our past might be washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord, and that we could see the blinders taken off so we could see straight on. Oh, yes, we can walk with the Lord. And we can aim for that mark, for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And so he says in verse 16, nevertheless, whereto we have already attained whatever progress has been made, in other words, let us walk for the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. And he's talking about the goal, the prize, the thing that we're aiming for. All other things are vanity. They're nothingness. They're not. So let's, come on. We've got to do this. Let us mind the same thing, to keep our eyes on the goal, on the prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He said, brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as you have us for an example, those, that are on course, that are walking with the Lord. Note them, mark them, use them as an example, he's saying here, verse 17. Because, sad to say, Paul realized that there were some that, you know, had given up after a while and had, you know, left off following the Lord. And he describes it here in verse 18, "For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things." Oh, these things that are vain, you know, things of the world. Oh, praise the Lord, no wonder we're told not to love the world, neither the things that are of the world. Oh, this world is going to pass away. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, Lord Jesus, please help Diane, Lord. I pray that you touch her and help her. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we just ask that you take away her infirmity and her pain, Lord. That you'd help her right now, I ask, in the name of Jesus, by the power of the blood, Lord. Oh, Lord, we just thank you, Jesus. Oh, we thank you, Lord. We praise you, Jesus. We worship you, Lord. Oh, God, you are here tonight, Lord. Oh, God, you are here to meet our needs, oh, Lord God, and to help us, Lord. Oh, we thank you, Jesus. We worship you, Lord. Oh, we praise you, Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you're doing. You know, praise the Lord. It tells us in verse 20, "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." Praise the Lord. Yeah, that's, you know, that's our focus. It's not here on earth. It's in heaven. It's on the Lord Jesus. And praise the Lord, it tells us in verse 21. "Oh, praise the Lord, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself." Oh, praise the name of the Lord. You know that moment, oh yes, when he returns to this earth. Praise the Lord, we're caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Oh, praise the Lord, as Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, oh, as he described that moment, praise the Lord, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump, "For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." Oh, praise the Lord. "For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality." Oh, yes, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven, right? Amen. Yes, he told us that there in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50. But praise the Lord, that moment is coming, oh, when we will be changed. Oh, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump, praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. This vile body is going to be fashioned unto his glorious body. Oh, yes. You know, John also wrote that, you know, at this point, you know, we don't know what we shall be like. But we do know that when he shall appear, praise the Lord, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Oh, praise the Lord. We're going to be able to look on his face. Oh, praise the Lord. We're going to be changed. This corruptible body is going to put on incorruption. We are going to be changed. I'll tell you what, this mortal is going to put on immortality. Oh, praise the Lord. We are going to be changed. The trials of this world are going to be over. The afflictions, the pain, the suffering, the death, you know, all these things, it's going to be over. Oh, praise the Lord. That's our hope. That's, you know, that's what we're looking for. That's, you know, the mark for the prize of the high calling of God. That moment, yes, when, oh, yes, all is over. This little time period we have, these moments of time, it's going to be over. Time is going to be no more. It's going to be entirely different, a new realm, and eternity with the Lord. Praise the Lord and His people in that place. So yes, where there's no pain or suffering or death. Oh, praise the Lord. That city where the Lamb is light. Oh, praise the Lord. That love place. Oh, yes, that He has prepared for them that love Him. Praise the Lord. Those that have walked with Him. I'll tell you what, that's what we're striving for. Oh, that's our goal. That's our aim. Oh, yes, because this life is going to be over one of these days. Oh, praise the Lord. No wonder Jesus said, Matthew, the 6th chapter, verses 19-21, lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Praise the Lord, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Oh, praise the Lord. What are you aiming for here tonight? What's your goal? Oh, what mark are you pressing for? You know, are you minding earthly things like so many people do? You know, is that what you're striving for? Oh, indeed, I hope not. Because as Paul wrote in Colossians, that 3rd chapter, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Praise the Lord. That deadness is, we're dead to the world, the things of this life, that, you know, the goals that most people have. Praise the Lord changes us. Oh, I know, we've got to exist. We need to make a living. You know, there has to be some sustenance and all of that. But you know, Jesus told us, you know, He regards the little sparrows that fall. How much more does He regard His children? He has promised that He will take care of our needs if we will seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All these things shall be added unto you. Praise the Lord. He's made those promises. So, praise the Lord, we can set our affections on things above and not on things on earth. For ye are dead. Oh, we're dead to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. All those things that most people are highly, heavily involved in. Your life, He says, your life is hid with Christ in God. Oh, praise the Lord. He comes into our life, oh yes, to hide us in His pavilion, in His presence, in that secret place of the Most High God. He puts us in those precious places with Christ Jesus. So yes, we can draw from the living water. We can draw from that well that never runs dry. There's always more. There's always more. There's always more. And oh, there's a God that will always hear us. He says here in Colossians, the 3rd chapter, verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. Oh, praise the Lord, when He comes back, and oh, yes, the dead in Christ, you know, He'll bring them back, and there'll be union again with the body that comes forth from the grave as once immortal and is going to put on that immortality. It was corruptible, but now it will be incorruptible. Praise the Lord. The Lord's going to bring that back. And all of us, whether we're here on earth or whether we're home with the Lord. So when Christ, who is our life, see, our life, it's, you know, you can't serve two masters. And again, so many people try to live in both worlds. But if you're really living for the Lord, you put those other things behind. And you began to press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's what it's all about, you know, living for the Lord, preparing to meet Him one of these days, to be counted worthy, to be accepted of Him. That's what it is all about. Oh, praise the Lord. And so that's what we're striving for. And praise the Lord, what a difference He makes in our lives. Oh, therefore, it tells us in verse 5 here in Colossians 3, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. In the which ye also walked some time when you lived in them. See, we are all in that place. We are all dead in our trespasses and sins. Oh, but praise the Lord. You know, and you know that first chapter of Colossians, Paul's talking about the time when we were alienated and we were enemies in our mind and we lived in our wicked works. But praise the Lord. The Lord has reconciled us. Oh, He has redeemed us. In other words, He brought us back to Himself. That all that body of His flesh through death, that, you know, He died so that we might be free from all these corruptible things, all these things of the flesh, all these things of lust, that He might one day present us holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight. As it tells us in Colossians, first chapter, verse 22, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which we have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes, Paul was striving for all of these things. Oh, we once lived in our trespasses and sins, and all those things of the flesh that we now mortify or kill, in other words. Oh, the fornication, all uncleannesses, inordinate affection, affections that were not proper, uncontrolled passions, all of that evil concupiscence, you know, the evil desires for things which were forbidden, as I believe Samuel described it the other day, and covetousness, desires for things that were not ours. All of those things which were part of our old nature. Oh, that brought forth the wrath of God. And it tells us in Colossians, the third chapter, the which you also walked some time when you lived in them. But praise the Lord made a new and living way. And oh yes, that chapter in Colossians goes on to describe how, yes, we can put on the new man. Oh, the new man, yes, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him. Oh yes, in the realm of the spiritual life that Jesus Christ has given us. That world where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Oh, praise the Lord. I'll tell you what, these are things that we strive for. Praise the Lord, the things of this world will give way. Oh, there are just, you know, there's no hope in the things of this world. They're just for a moment. They are fleeting. They will vanish. They will be consumed. They will be burnt. They will pass away. And as Peter told us, there, oh yes, the day of the Lord in 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter, verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burnt up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Praise the Lord, looking for and hasting until the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. Praise the Lord, that's our goal. That's why we're pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord that we might be found of him in peace. Praise the Lord. Yes, for the things of this world will vanish and soon be no more. The Lord has given us something to look forward to, a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. We can rejoice in Christ Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your holy name, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for what you put in our hearts. Thank you for that calling, Lord. Oh, thank you for that election. Thank you for what you've done, Lord. Oh, God, keep us, Lord. Help us to walk with you, Lord. Help us to be renewed in our hearts and in our minds. And, oh, Lord, help us to continue to walk, oh, Lord, towards the mark, the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Praise your name, Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise our God. Amen. Praise our God.
Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord.
Praise the Lord. In closing, we're going to open our hymnals to number 75 and sing Higher Ground. Verse 75. On the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day, still praying as I'm onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. My heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay. Though some may dwell where these abound, my prayer, my aim is higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to live above the world, though Satan's darts at me are hurled. Faith has caught the joyful sound, the song of saints on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to scale the utmost height and catch a gleam of glory bright. But still I'll pray till heaven I've found. Lord, lead me on to higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table and a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Praise the Lord.